Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, poor fundamental motor skills can make it hard for children with autism spectrum disorder to take part, participate in physical activities. And we'll talk about a UW program that helps parents teach those skills to their kids. Our guest is Luis Columna. He is an associate professor in the kinesiology department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he developed a program. It's called Fit Families, and it's designed for kids with disabilities. Has the Fit Families program helped out your family? Love to hear from you if it has. What questions do you have about teaching motor skills to kids with ASD? Join in the conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And Luis Columna, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for the invitation, Larry. I'm very excited to be a host on your show.
It's great to have you with us. So what's the basic idea behind Fit Families?
So basically, Fit Family come with the idea. One time I went to Guatemala to do a sport camp for children with visual impairments. And when we were doing the camp, we ran with the predicament that we didn't have enough volunteers to run the program. So we then educate parents of all the activities that we were doing in the work in the camp. And at the end, one parent told us that it's not the same reading about physical activity versus doing it. So that gave me the idea to create this program in which we basically are teaching parents how to become physically active with their children. Many times they are focused mainly on education or therapy, you name it, speech or occupational therapy, and physical activity take a back burner. Fundamental motor skills is a building block. And when I'm talking about fundamental motor skill, I'm talking about activities like throwing, kicking, catching, and running. Those are the building blocks to more elaborated physical activity or team sports in which children with autism typically are not being part of.
Yeah, maybe talk a bit more about autism spectrum disorder and how it affects children.
Yeah, so the hallmark of the disability are language difficulties or sensory disorders. However, even though that is not part of the diagnostic, many children with autism lack fundamental motor skills. They are behind their peers in these skills. And typically, these children are diagnosed around the age of 3, sometimes a little bit sooner. But sometimes, like I said, physical activity is not on the radar of parents. When we have noticed, when we provide this type of activities and this type of programming to the families, the kids' communication tend to be enhanced and they start to flourish because we embedded communication and sensory activities within our program. So giving the opportunities for the children and their parents to develop together.
Yeah, sounds like a program that would be good for kids with other ability issues as well.
Yeah, like for example, like this program, because it's a research program, we are targeting children with autism, but the program can be easily modified for children with other disabilities like Down syndrome or ADHD. One of the prerequisites, the children have to be ambulatory. They have to be able to walk or run in order to participate because of the selection of activities. That doesn't mean that we can create a program for kids with more severe disabilities.
Talking today with Luis Columna, associate professor in the kinesiology department at UW-Madison, about keeping children with other abilities active, and certainly looking forward to hearing from you. Maybe you've got an experience to share or a question. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email at ideas@wpr.org. Why is it so important to have parents be involved in this?
That's a great question, Larry. I think that's the first time that somebody asked me that question. And I think in academia, we do an excellent job teaching our health professionals, name it physical educators or other health professionals. We teach them how to work with the patient, in this case with the children. But we need to understand that many times children within the autism spectrum disorder, they tend to rely on their parents to do extracurricular activities or to participate in physical activities. But then we assume that they know what to do. And they, what we have learned is that many times they lack the skills to teach physical activities. They think that it's important. They value physical activity, but they don't know how to do it. Or if they know how to do it, they don't know what equipment they can buy for the children. As part of Fit Families, we provide the families not only with the equipment for free for them to keep, but also we give them a series of games and activities that match the equipment that we provide them.
Wow. So they get the tools. What happens to families and kids when they start developing these skills?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, and I get goosebumps every time I mention this. So I've been here in Madison only a year and a half or so. Prior to here, I was at Syracuse University in New York, where I run a similar program. So within a year, we were able to run the program here in Madison. And I can remember two families particularly that told us how the program changed their family life, how the parent didn't know that the kid could do the activity that he was doing. Because what happened is many times parents, when they have a child with a disability, and it's very normal to this to happen, they tend to be overprotective. So what we are telling them is let them be kids, let them play, let them move, and they will surprise you. They will impress you more than you think. And that's what we are doing, giving the parents an opportunity to see what their kids can do.
So what is the class like?
So we have three groups. One group is what is called a control group. It was supposed to start this fall, but we have to delay it a little bit because of COVID. But we have two groups. One group come here in person with us. Have two sections. The program runs from 9 to noon every 3 weeks. And have four key cornerstone workshops, and I will tell you those in a little bit. But in the morning, we receive the families, parents and their children. We divide them. The parents go to a speaker, and the children go to do activities with my students, which are typically undergraduate and graduate students. Then the second part of the workshop is the parents get to practice what we taught them in the morning. They get to practice that with their children. And then we provide feedback to them on how they are doing it or how they can improve or maximize the equipment that they receive. The other group, we gave them all the equipment and all the activity booklets for them to do everything at home. And we give them the equipment, they come every 3 weeks, we give them a new set of equipment, and we follow up with text messages or a Facebook page that we have, a private Facebook page that we have. Now, the program is based on four workshops: sensory integration, communication, physical activity and sports, and aquatic. Sensory integration and communication, because I mentioned previously, those are the hallmark of the disability. So we need to teach parents how through movement and through physical activity, they can target those skills. Then physical activity on sports, because children with autism, they lack opportunities in these areas. And aquatics, we included that workshop because drowning is the number one cause of death among kids with autism. And they love the water, many of them. So but we need to teach them how to swim. And then we need to teach parents how to provide safe opportunities for their children. So in summary, that's how the program looked like.
And the you mentioned the sensory, the communication aspect of it was just...
Yeah, so basically we this is a multidisciplinary team, psychologists, physical educators, speech and language therapists. So what we do is we bring a former student of mine, actually, who is a speech and language pathologist. She comes to us. She provides the workshop to the parents, and she teaches how to the games that we provide them, how they can infuse communication and how they can do activities to promote and enhance the communication with their children.
Wow, that seems like something you'd think would be natural for parents, but they need to learn that.
Yeah, it's like that's why we create it. Sometimes we take it for granted. And having a typical child is not easy. Imagine having a child with a disability sometimes is even more of a challenge because of the unknown territory. I don't know what to do. How do I start the process? And then, like I said, physical activity, which is children's job, parents don't know how to support that sometimes. And that's what we come in place and providing them with those skills that they can enhance their quality of life.
Well, we've got a lot we can talk about here with our guest today, Luis Columna, Associate Professor in the Kinesiology Department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He developed the Fit Families program for kids with disabilities. Love to hear from you. Join in with your own. Maybe you've been a part of this program, or maybe you have a question about how you might in some way become involved. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. We will take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll be back with Luis Columna to talk some more about the program and to answer your questions. You stay with us. We'll be back right after this look at the news. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Our guest now is Luis Columna, an associate professor in kinesiology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We're talking to him about a program he developed called Fit Families to help parents teach their kids basic motor skills. What would you like to know about the program? Does your child have autism spectrum disorder? How do you help teach motor skills? We'd love to hear from you, your questions or your experiences. Maybe you have been a part of the Fit Families program. If you have, certainly love to hear from you about how that program has affected your family. You can call us at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. So, Luis, let's talk about what are the basic motor skills and what activities does the class include that help develop them?
So basic motor skills are divided into two main components, locomotor skills, like running, jumping, galloping, sliding, and object control skill or ball skills like throwing, catching, kicking, striking. When you put those locomotor skills together, what you develop is a sport, actually. Like, for example, baseball involves running and striking and throwing and catching. So those are prerequisite for you to be able to play team sports. And like I said, children with autism typically they don't participate in this type of activities. So what we did was we created a series of booklets matching the workshops that I indicated before, the four workshops. And so we have a written description of the game, but also we pre-recorded all of the games, and we had the games embedded into the booklet using QR codes that the parents don't have to read the instruction to the kid. They only show the video of the game, how it's supposed to be played, to the child, and the child can go ahead and do the activities, making it easier for them. So we know that children with autism are drawn, many of them, to technology, or they have their iPad or their phone devices. So we are tapping into that technology for them to be able to maximize that.
So I'm wondering, in terms of the amount of space, let's talk about, you've got a wonderful space to work with. Can parents do this at home? Sometimes, I suppose, with limited space.
Yeah, very good question. So right now we don't have state-of-the-art facilities. We were at the natatorium, and that building is coming down to build a new one.
Oh, that's right.
So we have a new lab space here in MSC. It's our new building. We will be able to do small projects and data collection, but hopefully in the near future we will be able to have our own gene space that we can run all of this program. So, with going back to your question about the small facilities, the equipment that we provided and the activities that we designed was with two things in mind. Considering the weather and the activities therefore needed to be performed inside the house. So the equipment that we purchased is like soft equipment. And like I said, remember, I run this program first in New York. And one of the things that parents told us was that during the summertime, they can go outside and play. But what happened during the winter? So all of the activities are modifiable that can be played inside the house.
Ah, all right. Well, let's take a call. Again, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Dan in La Crosse, we'll go to you. Hi, Dan. Thank you for calling.
Sure. I've studied some music therapy, and I'm very interested in what the guest is talking about. Personally, I've worked with children with autism on the piano. We do piano games and so on. But I know there's art therapy, dance therapy, and I wondered if the guest works with other modalities to help children.
Mm-hmm. Louise?
Yeah, can you repeat the question? You caught a little bit.
He was wondering if you've used other modalities as well, such as music therapy in working with children with these kinds of other abilities.
Very good question. Yes, so two of my graduate students, they do dance interventions. So we involve, every time that we bring the kids with us, we do an instant activity which typically involves some type of dance. Also, we try to pair some of the games and activities with music. And for this, we ask the parents what is the type of music that the kids like the most. But I do believe a lot in music therapy, and combining that with physical activity is something that we would like to start in the near future.
Dan, thanks very much for that question. I wonder if music is a good thing to have on while the kids are participating in some of these physical activities, just to have it as background music.
Yeah, but we need to be careful, right? Because some children are sensitive to sound and all of that, but we try to play it depending on their needs, you know, and initially it's individual. And that's why when we run the program on campus, we try to have multiple facilities. Like, for example, when we ran the program last spring, we were using some school in the Madison School District, and we had several gyms. Like, if the kid has sensory issues, go to one gym. But we try to do most of the activities included to promote socialization among the participants.
So you mentioned COVID earlier, and COVID almost shut down the program in mm-hmm. March. How did it continue?
Okay, so this like we entered an uncharted territory. We didn't know how to do this online, and when all my colleagues were shutting down their programs, one morning I woke up. You know what? I think we can do this. So I contacted some colleagues of mine who are professional videographers, and I asked them how we can do this, and they provided some feedback. So we transitioned the entire program to online, which worked, and even we were able to collect data, some of the data remotely. Like we have an assessment that we use that typically is done in person. We were able to do that assessment online. And in fact, we were hoping to validate that protocol this fall, but because we're still dealing with COVID, most likely we'll try to validate that protocol in the spring. if we are successful with that program, we then will be able to do Fit Families anywhere in the world. Like, we already are in conversation to do the program in Puerto Rico, that's where I'm from, and in India. And with this, we don't have to travel there. We will be able to deliver the program directly from here, from Madison. We just need to bring a couple of families to our lab space, and we broadcast it to them. And I think we'd be able to do that. So again, the data, because we had to make some changes, not the best. So right now we are writing some grants to see if we can redo the program again, recruit new participants and do everything how it's supposed to be.
So there's a kind of a silver lining behind, we can't think of too many silver linings behind COVID, but this might be one of them, the creativity, I guess, to say, okay, we can do this online, and then, well, heck, we can do it online here, we can do it online anywhere.
Exactly, and the feedback that we received from the parents was that they were afraid that we would have to cancel the program. And the fact that we provided that to them, actually, about 4 or 5 families told us during the interviews that this became the PE curriculum for their children and their entire family. Because remember, we gave them equipment, we gave them the ideas what to do, and the communication between them and the schools in terms of physical activity was limited. We then were the one who were developing that for them. And because they had the time, then the parents and the other siblings were able to participate with the kid with autism.
Could you describe some of the equipment? I think some people may be interested in knowing, how much, what kind of equipment are we talking about here, and what, what would it cost if I had to go buy it?
Yeah, so on average, I feel like Santa Claus, I told you. Like, I feel like Santa Claus giving all of this equipment to families. Because we gave to each family, on average, between $300 to $400 worth of equipment, which is not expensive equipment. I think the most expensive piece of equipment we have might be $30, the most expensive one. But everything else is very inexpensive, because I want the program to be able to function in other countries. Like, if I go to India, we're going to be working in communities that may be from a low income. So we were meaningful about that. I could buy expensive equipment, but for example, we have typical equipment like basketball, tennis ball, plastic bats. That's very simple. But then the most sophisticated equipment we provide parents with a sensory soccer ball, which is a weighted ball that make the balls to go slower. This is, we purchased it all out of Europe. And the kids feel that they are successful, right? Because normally you have a typical soccer ball, and if you are not skillful, you kick the ball, and the ball you have to chase after the ball. This ball, you kick the ball, and the ball will move no more than 2 feet from you. So you feel that you have control of the ball. Another piece of equipment that we use is called a spooner board. Imagine like a skateboard. You take the wheels out of the board, and then you can spin and do other activities with it. And then we have other type of equipment that promote jumping skills. Like, it's like a pogo stick, but without the stick, it's like it's difficult to I never had to explain it. I could just send you a picture, right? But I can tell you this: when the kids get the equipment, kids who never were attracted to physical activity have become this. We have families have told us that the kids have lost 15 or 20 pounds since enrolling in the program. And even though that our program is not, we are not measuring obesity or weight reduction or anything like that, because the kids are so into it, the entire family is reducing weight. They say, well, you have to pay me, because that wasn't part of the deal, right? So the kids, parents have told us that the equipment that they receive is so neat, so cool, so innovative. So they become the cool kids in the neighborhood, because they will have equipment that nobody else has.
Well, Jim, emailed that he went through hell all of his life growing up. He was different, couldn't play sports. He was always the last one to be picked in the school for a team, and has been actually on disability for years now. He recently found out that he has medium functioning autism. And this is, and I'm sorry for Jim and for the kind of way that he had to grow up, especially, you know, being the last one picked in every sport and things of that nature. And this is the kind of thing I think that, in part, you're trying to avoid or get rid of through mm-hmm. your program.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly right. Like by providing the skill to the parents, what they are doing is reinforcing what is supposed to be happening in school. What happens is sometimes there's a disconnect between what the kids do at school related to physical education and what the parents can do in the community. So I was trained as an adapted physical educator in college. That is physical education for kids with disabilities. So I always try to communicate with the parents. But like I mentioned before, in higher ed, we're doing a great job teaching our students how to work with the children or the participants, but not how to interact with the families. And that's why we are trying to close the gap. So we have right now, as part of our lab, about 25 or 30 undergraduate students from different programs on campus, occupational therapists, kinesiology, psychology, and they learn how to work together as a team, which is what is supposed to be happening in real life.
And graduate students involved as well, and some of them even involved in some of the research, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so I have as part of my lab three graduate students. All of them want to learn how to do interventions similar to Fit Families, and they are getting trained. So that is a given. If you are going to study with me, you're going to be part of Fit Families, because I think then if they learn how to do Fit Families, they can learn how to do any physical activity intervention. So we are covering all the basics.
Someone else wondered, what tools do you have for parents to do the program at home? You supply them? Well, go ahead and talk about that some more.
Okay, so right now we are doing what is called a pilot study with here to demonstrate that we can deliver the program here in Madison, Wisconsin. And we are doing that. But we are about to submit that paper. So what we would like to do is we are working with an office here called PLACE, that is an online program. We are working on a grant to put everything that we have online for free to the parent, that they can go ahead and access all this programming. And even though if we do research, yes, we will provide equipment for free. But if they are not part of the research, we can give them the link where they can obtain the equipment and all of that. And hopefully in the future, we can have like a loan program where they can come borrow the equipment for a little bit, return it. And we used to do this in Syracuse. And we would like to expand that to here.
Oh, that sounds absolutely wonderful. I love the video that was produced about the program. I even got a little, almost a tear in my eye. It was a joyful kind of video. Talk about that.
So that company is that company who did the video. They were phenomenal. They traveled to Madison like three times to help us with the videos, and they are doing two other set of videos. And actually, for the data collection, they developed the videos that we share with the families to teach them how to collect the data for us, and that was fantastic. And I told them what my vision was. We did similar videos when I was in New York, but this one was top notch. I am very proud of this video.
Well, I love that video, and we have it posted on our website. If I'm not mistaken, if you go to wpr.org/Larry, and I hope everybody listening goes and takes a look at it, because it's a wonderful video that really explains a lot about how the program works, and I really enjoyed in particular. What comments that the parents had made, some of the parents had made about their own children, the man, the dad in particular, who talked about his child
I tell you, Larry, before I came here, I was been very successful with the program in New York. One of the reasons why I decided to move to Madison is because of the credibility and amount of professionals that are here at the university level. And this has opened the door for us to be able to expand the program mainly to rural areas. Like, we just got a paper published in which we interviewed Hispanic parents of kids with autism. And it was alarming how many of these parents don't know what to do with their kids, and they don't even know what their rights are. So one of my goals to develop the program in Puerto Rico is then to transfer those skills to states like Wisconsin, Milwaukee, for example, Texas or California, where Hispanic are, have a large number of Hispanic participants in there, so we can expand to other communities, you know?
Well, I think it's a wonderful program that you've got going. What's your just kind of looking ahead down the road? You've talked about the kinds of things that you're hoping for and want to achieve. What's a kind of a timeline for that?
So my goal is within the next 3 years or so, be able to launch the program in multi-state, like Madison, Wisconsin, Puerto Rico, and Texas, particularly with minority families. In Wisconsin, I wanted to be able to reach out to rural communities that typically don't receive services or parents don't have the transportation to get to us. So that's why we want to reach out to them. And then start trying the training type of program where we can go to other universities, train their staff, train their student, and they can run it on their own.
Well, I tell you, it's a wonderful program, Luis, and I want to thank you so much for talking with us about it. And I want to urge everybody to go to to our site, wpr.org/Larry, and click on that video because it is a fabulous video explaining how it all works and not a long video at all, but a very impactful one. Luis, thank you so much for calling. I hope we have a chance to talk again. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invitation, Larry.
Yeah, appreciate it very, very much. Luis Columna is an associate professor in the kinesiology department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he developed the FIT Families program for kids with disabilities. It's a fascinating program, and you know what? I think he said 3 years from now, I think he's gonna be achieving those goals of spreading that program around the country and around the world. There's a lot going on here in Wisconsin and everywhere else that can affect our everyday lives. And on this show, you know, we try to focus on how to make your life better every single day. We've got the morning show and the Central Time program that keep you up to date on breaking stories. But we try to go to what affects our lives every day and how to make your life better every single day. And I hope we achieve that. And I hope you'll stay with us on the Ideas Network for talk and news that keeps you informed and also shows that keep you learning throughout the day. Again, go to ideas at WPR.org/Larry if you want to take a look at that video. And I want to thank you so much for listening and for taking part today. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.